Well, let's pray as we open our heart to God's word this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, we don't take it lightly, but as it is the word of the living God, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives today. I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might be able to truly understand the truths of your word. And help us, Father, to apply these things in our life that we might be doers of your word and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a series right now just called Praying Effectively. Prayer's fun when you know that your prayers work. But when we're not sure that our prayers are being heard, that our prayers are making a difference, then it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to just begin to pray less and less. So it's really important that we know how to pray effectively. And this morning in particular, I want to talk to you about praying with confidence, that you can know that your prayers are making a difference. How do you pray with confidence? Well, if you want to pray effectively, as I've said for several weeks, we need to learn from Jesus. Jesus says, pray like this, Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to invite the rule and reign of God in our prayer. But he says, pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do when we pray, is pray for God's will to be done on earth. Not praying for our will and what we want, but praying for the will of God, what he wants to do. Now, it's great when they're the same thing. And I really believe that if you are truly submitted to God and your heart is right before the Lord and, you know, if you desire to serve the Lord, that most of the time, your desires, your wants are going to get in line with the will of God. But there are those times when it's difficult. You need to know this, that what you want isn't always going to line up with the will of God. And when they don't, you got to pray for God's will instead of yours. And oh, how that's always the very best, to have God's will. We might think we know what's best or something that we need, and we think God just needs to do what we want. But listen, in the end, God's will is always best. The Lord Jesus modeled this for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22:42, it tells us he prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And we have to have that kind of heart that we want the will of God, even if it's not what we maybe selfishly or personally want. We want the will of God. But we're to always pray for the will of God. One of the reasons that so many people have unanswered prayers is because they're praying for what they want instead of what God wants. James 4:3 tells us that very plainly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And you know, the real issue in this verse is he doesn't even say that they're asking for the wrong things, but they're asking for the wrong reasons. Their heart's not right in what they're asking. But if we ask according to the will of God, then we're praying the way Jesus said to pray. Then we're praying an effective prayer. We can pray with confidence when we're praying for what God wants to do. I've said this almost every week of this series. Prayer is not how we can get God to do what he doesn't want to do. See, I think some people want to hear a teaching on how to get God to do what you want. I'm telling you, if you hear that teaching, it's not from the Bible. Because, listen, he is sovereign God. And what our prayer is to bring his will into the earth. It is to see God's will, listen, as it is in heaven. And I want you to think about that, because if he just said, His will, you know, a lot of people would say, well, heaven is one thing and earth is another. Well, that is absolutely true. But what we're to pray for is the will of God as it is in heaven. Now, that's powerful. See, you could say, if he didn't say it that way, you could say, well, heaven's great, but down here, nothing we can do about it. Oh, yes, there is. That's why we pray. And Jesus taught us that this is the effective way to pray, is to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, to pray for the will of God, we have to be sincere. And to be sincere about the will of God, our hearts have to be right with Him. If we're going to pray with confidence, we need to know that our hearts are right with God. You know, you can't really pray with confidence when you feel like there is a wall between you and the Lord. You feel like there's a separation between you and God. You can't really pray with confidence when you know that you're not living right and you're not doing right. I know this is a real shouting ground right now, right? Everybody wants to be quiet because I'm not talking about you. Yeah. You say amen because I'm talking about somebody else, okay? But I'm just telling you, you can't really pray with confidence when your heart isn't really right. Did you know that if you're not treating your spouse right, it can hinder your prayer? I'm telling you that there are a lot of things that can hinder your prayer where you can't pray with confidence. So the Bible gives us this one as an example of 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You see, if you're not treating your spouse right, your prayers will be hindered. Now, that's just an example. You know, relationships are really important to the Lord. But it might be something else in your life. If you're not, you know what the Bible says, you know what God wants you to do, but you're just not doing it. Or you know God doesn't approve of something that you're doing it. It doesn't please Him, but you're just doing it anyway. I'm telling you, that will hinder your confidence when you come to God. First John chapter 3. Verses 19 through 22. 1 John chapter 3, 19 through 22. And I would encourage you to jot down these references this morning because we're talking about praying with confidence today. I'm just going to tell you that anybody can pray. But we ought to be learning. We ought to be growing. And to really pray with confidence isn't something that we figure out and have it all down in one day. No, it's something that we learn day by day to pray with real confidence, knowing that our prayers are really making a difference. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 22. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. You see, if there's something that we know in our heart that's not right, and we can even justify, we can rationalize, we can make our excuses, is so popular in our culture, but when we're being disobedient, we're not really obeying God. I'm telling you that our heart knows, and God is greater than our heart, and it hinders our prayer. Verse 21, he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Wow. And there it is. You see, when we have that confidence before God, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I want to tell you that how you live impacts your prayer life. Because it will absolutely undermine your confidence in prayer with God if you're not living right. I mean, if you're not pleasing the Lord, if you're not obeying His command. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, this isn't fun. Let me tell you what is fun. When your prayers are answered. That's fun. When you have confidence before God. But you see, we can't have confidence before God and be insincere. We can't come before God praying for His will. And yet in our own lives, we know we're not living according to the will of God, not doing what He wants us to do. And so it's really important that we get our heart right if we're going to pray with confidence. But you know what? I'm so glad that's not hard to do with God. I'm so glad that He has made it easy for us to get right with Him, aren't you? Because He promises us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, if we'll just admit it to Him, if we'll just tell Him, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, or forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad He doesn't just forgive me, but He cleanses out the unrighteousness. So then we can have confidence before God. And you know, a lot of times, just a kind of works mindset and being religious, people think, well, you know, if you've done wrong, you got to do right for a long time, or you got to do, you know, you got to make up for it. Listen, God isn't asking you to do penance. He's not asking you to pay for your sin. Your sin has already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is ready to forgive. In fact, I love this verse. It's from Psalm 86 and verse 5. He says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you just turn to God, you say, I hadn't been doing right, or I know I've messed up. You know, I feel like there's something between me and God. Well, guess what? He's ready. If you just ask, I'm telling you, He's ready to forgive. You can make things right with God right now. I mean, in an instant, you can make things right with God. He's ready to forgive if you're willing. But don't let the enemy put guilt and condemnation on you once you have asked God for forgiveness. I mean, when you decide you're going to serve God with the whole heart, you're going to please God in the way you're living, and you ask God for forgiveness, don't let the enemy hinder your prayers with old guilt and condemnation, reminders of your past. No, then, as I said last week, you come to God in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're coming to Him cleansed and washed, because you've received a forgiveness provided to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:11 and 12 says, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. We have boldness, see, confidence. You can come to God and pray with confidence because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for His will. That is always best. You know, even in the example of the Lord Jesus, when He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. He was about to go through so much suffering, so much heartache on the cross. But He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. And we read just last week how that because He was obedient unto death, He's given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. You see, in the will of God, it all turned out really well. And you know what? Sometimes in our life, we go down some difficult paths, but I'm telling you, God's will is always best. You may not see it right now, but it'll always work out for your good. And if you just do the will of God, pray for the will of God. See, we need to trust the Lord that when we bring His will, when we pray for His will, oh, it is the best thing that could ever happen, is to have the will of God in our life and in our world. So keep praying for God's will. And when you know that you're praying according to His will, Your prayer takes on a whole new dimension because you're asking God to do what He already wants to do. So you can have great confidence that God wants to answer your prayer because you're asking Him to do His will. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now it says He hears us. The word "hear" doesn't simply mean that God knows that we prayed. I mean, He hears everything. He hears when we complain. He hears everything. But when He says, we ask according to His will, we know He hears us. It's saying that we know that He receives our prayer. It's being accepted because we're praying according to His will. We know. See, when we know that He has received our prayer, He's heard our prayer, then we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Then we can, see, you may go to God upset and troubled and anxious, but when you know that you have the petitions you've asked of Him, that's when you get up from prayer. As Philippians 4, 7 says, with the peace of God that passes understanding. Because you know it's done. You know you have the petitions that you've asked of Him. That's praying with confidence, knowing you have the petitions that you've asked of Him. But the real key here is that we pray according to the will of God. So how do we know the will of God? I want to direct your attention back to what Jesus said about how we should pray. He said to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You want to know what God's will is for earth? Well, you look at how it is in heaven. We don't know a whole lot about heaven, but what we do know is pretty wonderful. We know that there's no heartache, there's no sorrow in heaven. Listen, there's no sin in heaven. There's no sickness, there's no disease in heaven. No, heaven is a wonderful place where there is righteousness, peace, and joy. Heaven is a wonderful place where God rules and reigns supreme and His will is done. Now, that's what we're praying for here on earth. What we see, you see, the will of God, we can see in a picture of heaven what God wants to do here. We're praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Perfect will of God. See, in the perfect will of God, there's no need, there's no pain, there's no heartache in the perfect will of God. And it's amazing how that religious people are always blaming God for all of the terrible things in this world and saying it must be the will of God. No, all of the heartache and the sickness and the trouble and everything evil in this world, listen, that all came into this world as the result of the will of man. But if you want to see the perfect will of God, you look at heaven. There's a picture of what God wants. That's His will being carried out. His will is carried out absolutely in heaven. And so we're praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How can we know the will of God? I tell you, we can know the will of God through the Word of God. So much of the will of God is revealed to us in His written Word. I know that people always will say, "Well, I need to know the will of God about this specific situation." And I understand that. I've had a lot of those things myself, daily, seems like. But I also know that as we look to His Word, and we understand the will of God in the big things and the things that He's told us clearly in His Word, it's amazing how that so often the little things will just become clear when they need to. That God will show us those little details of life what His will is. In fact, the more that you know His Word, it's amazing just how much of the details of life He has told us in His Word. But too often, Christians settle for such a shallow understanding and knowledge of the Word, they don't even know what God's will is. And not knowing if something is God's will or not, so often leaves us praying without any confidence. No, we need to know the will of God, and the Word of God has much to say about God's will for our life. It makes it so clear in so many situations if we'll just take the time to seek Him in His Word. Be a student of the Word. And the more that you know His Word and apply it in your life, I tell you, the more that you're going to know what God's will is in any particular situation. Now, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I just want to point out to you once more that he starts off in this passage saying that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for us. It is our reasonable service. It is only what we can do in the view of all that He has done for us, that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices. And let me tell you why this is so important in knowing the will of God. Because as long as you only want the will of God when it suits you, you're going to have a hard time knowing the will of God. Tell me your will, God, and then I'll decide if I want it. I'm telling you, when our hearts are truly submitted to Him, and we have presented ourselves as living sacrifices to do His will, I'm telling you, it becomes a whole lot easier than to see and to know and to understand the will of God. In verse 2, though, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind to really be transformed. And I don't know of any other way to renew the mind other than the Word of God. Because anything else is going to be of this world. It is the Word of God that changes our mind and gets us, helps us to think like God thinks. The more you think like He thinks, the more you're going to be able to understand and know what His will is. In fact, he says there, he says, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. To prove the will of God is to test it, to prove it like metal that's tried in a fire. You see, if you take metals that have some gold in it and you put them in a fire, you can separate out all of the other impurities from the gold. And as you renew your mind with the Word of God, it helps you separate out all of the stuff, all of the thoughts, the attitudes, the philosophies of the world, even from your soulish realm. I'm telling you, your feelings are not always in line with what God wants. It helps you separate out all that other stuff, and you're left with that pure gold of the will of God. You can prove. You see, then you really know. When you renew your mind, then you can really know what the will of God is, that good, acceptable, that perfect will of God. But you got to renew your mind with the Word of God. And that's a process. I tell you, that's a way of life. It's not something that you do overnight, but it's something that you learn, that you just keep renewing your mind. And as you serve the Lord, and you walk with the Lord, and you stay in His Word more and more and more, you'll know what the will of God is. And you can pray with great confidence, because you know you're praying according to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is so full of truth and tells us so much about the Lord. And one of the ways that you can know the will of God for your life is the promises that He's made to you. whatever God promises you is His will for you. He doesn't promise you anything that's not His will. In fact, His will always lines up with the Word of God. Absolutely. But whatever promises that God has made to us, they are His will for us. And you need to understand that many times there are conditions to those promises that need to be fulfilled, but they are absolutely His will for you. He wouldn't promise it if He didn't want that for you. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in Him, in Jesus, are yes and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. The promises are for us, and they are His will for us. And so if you will use the Word of God in your prayer, how powerful it is when you're praying about a situation and you're praying a promise. See, whatever problem you're facing, whatever the situation you're dealing with, I'm telling you, there's a promise somewhere in the Word of God. And yes, we have to be careful that we're not misappropriating those promises, but there's a promise in there that will show you the will of God and what God wants to do in that situation. And you can pray according to His will. I know some of these promises, they seem too good to be true, but I'm telling you that God has provided them for us, and we need to pray for His will to be done. And I'm going to word it this way, and I know that some of you, you're going to be kind of taken aback by my wording here, so just give me a moment to clarify before you get upset. I know that this, I'm going to use a word that has become a dirty word. I got your attention now, don't I? Listen, if He has promised it in His Word, we're entitled to it. Amen. And let me just clarify to you what I'm talking about. Entitled is a dirty word now, I know that. But let me just tell you what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that we deserve it. It's all by grace. We don't deserve. Even, listen, when we obey God, it puts us in a position to receive blessings from God. But we don't earn anything from God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying we're entitled to it because He has already provided it. Yes. Listen, if He promised it to us, it's for us. Yes. And many times, as I said, there are conditions that we need to meet. There's, you know, most of the promises of God have some kind of a condition on them. And you can't just say, well, I claim that promise, even though you're living like the devil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, you know, there's conditions on most of the promises, but those promises are for you. And you need to know they're part of the will of God in your life. Let me tell you something. It is always God's will for people to be saved. I know there's this demonic teaching that says that, well, God will only save certain people that He picked out before creation ever started. Demonic. It keeps so many people from coming to the Lord because they think, well, I guess that's not me because I'm not a good person. Let me tell you something. It is not His will. I'm reading 2 Peter 3:9. Not willing. He is not willing that any should perish. How come people go to hell? Because of the will of man, not because of the will of God. It is not His will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So when we pray, we can pray with great confidence that our loved ones will come to know the Lord. We can pray with great confidence that our neighbors will find repentance. Anybody got some neighbors that need repentance? We can pray with great confidence that the people that we work with will come to the Lord. We can pray that they will be saved because we're praying the will of God. He doesn't want any to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. And so when you pray for people to be saved, you pray with confidence. You pray with great faith because this is something that God wants to do. He wants them to be saved. If you're praying for healing and you don't know whether or not it's God's will. It's going to be very hard for you to pray with any kind of confidence. But I'm telling you this, there's no sickness in heaven. In the perfect will of God, there's no sickness. Now, I realize in this world, we don't see much of the perfect will of God. But I'm telling you, in the perfect will of God, there's no sickness, no disease. In Matthew 8, 1 through 3, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And you know, a lot of people are there. They know that he can, but they don't know if he's willing. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I just want to remind you again, in Psalm 103, verse 3, "He who forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases." That does it for me. Because to take away the second part of that verse, well, you lose the first part. I'm telling you, they go hand in hand. The same God who provided on the cross for our forgiveness provided for our healing, that by His stripes we were healed. And you need to know when you pray for healing that it's God's will. Amen. We don't understand the battle sometimes. We don't understand all that goes on. And we don't understand sometimes why one was healed and one was not. But what we do know is that it is the perfect will of God to heal. And so we can pray with absolute confidence for healing. I remember 9 years ago when Carmen first started fighting the battle against cancer and praying and believing God for healing. And, you know, as we all do, we want an instant miracle. We want that miracle right now. Anybody? You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on now. And she began to ask the Lord, "Lord, give me an example of someone who wasn't healed immediately and someone that had to wait and wait and wait." And one night she went to bed, and in the middle of the night in her sleep, the Lord gave her a verse reference, Romans 4:19. And then again, Romans 4:19. And again, Romans 4:19. Three times in the night, he gave her this reference. The next morning she got up, and during her devotional time, she remembered the Lord telling her that verse reference. She didn't even know what it was. And so she turned to that verse to read it. And this is what it says. Talked about Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, if you know the story, you know that Sarah had always been barren. She had never been able to have children. And Abraham's now about 100 years old. His body is as good as dead, the Bible says. They waited, and they waited, and they waited. 25 years after it was first promised, the miracle happened. And that womb that had never been able to conceive was healed. I'm just telling you that sometimes we have a delay. There's a time we're waiting for the will of God to come. But do not think that just because there is a delay, just because you don't see something on your timetable, doesn't mean that it wasn't the will of God. And so we need to pray with confidence. Don't allow the fact that, well, you didn't see it the next day. Don't allow that to hinder your confidence before God. You just keep praying and keep believing God and expecting a miracle. We can know it's the will of God through His Word. We can know the will of God by asking Him in prayer. Now, this was really easy. Just ask Him. Ask Him in prayer. The Apostle Paul prayed this for the Colossians. It's Colossians 1:9. He says, "We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, we can certainly pray that for others, but we can also pray it for ourselves. Lord, according to this prayer that Paul prayed, see, you're praying according to the will of God. It's in the Scripture for a reason. Pray and ask Him that you would be filled with a knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want to remind you that when Jesus got ready to pick the 12, this just amazes me. God in the flesh, but you see, He walked this earth as a man. And so He's going to pick these 12 guys that He's going to pour His life into. He prays all night. He prays all night before He picked the 12. And some of us, we got a big decision to make. We say, okay, Lord, what do you think? Jesus prayed all night. I don't know what God's will is. Jesus prayed all night before He picked the 12. I know some of you are thinking, well, He missed it on that one. But no, even that was part of the plan and will of God. But He prayed all night before He picked the 12. And if you really want to know God's will, pray and pray and pray. And sometimes it might take you longer than a quick prayer you threw up. But pray, because God can reveal His will to you when you really seek Him with a sincere and earnest heart. He can show you His will. We can know the will of God through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and He can show us things that we can't ever figure out on our own. In fact, sometimes our old carnal minds, they just get in the way. We need a heart and a mind that's in tune with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 12, it says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." I want you to think about that for a second. The deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." If you want to know the will of God, I want to tell you something. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Nobody knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God, that have been freely given to us by God." Talked about this on Wednesday night. Did a message on the mind of Christ. You go to verse 16. Just drop down a few verses there. 1 Corinthians 2:16. "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." How can you have the mind of Christ? It is through the help of the Holy Spirit. That as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, as you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, see, not just having a carnal mind, but a spiritual mind. The carnal mind can't please God. Romans 8, 5, and 6. The carnal mind can never please God. But the spiritual mind, if you're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can show you the will of God. Because the more that you get your mind in tune with Him, the more you're going to see, the more you're going to understand the will of God. Last, we can know the will of God because it is a reflection of His character. His will reflects the person, the character, who He is. You see, He's good. And I want to tell you, His will is good. He is merciful. And His will is merciful. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It's His will to provide for us. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." That's who He is. And to think that God doesn't heal is to say something different about His character. It's who He is. I'm telling you that the Lord wants to bless you. It's His will to bless. You say, oh, wait a minute now. I read in the Bible where God pronounced a curse on people. Well, yeah. Started in Genesis. Spoke that curse on the ground. I'm just telling you, that's not the perfect will of God. That is the result, listen to me now, from the garden on, the curse, every time you see it, it is always the result of the will of man. But God's will has always been to bless. That's part of His character in person. And He wants to bless. He wants to do good. And the more that you know Him and know who He is and what He's like, the more you will know what His will is. Why do we have to ask Him to do what He wants? Listen, He wants a personal, intimate relationship with us. He wants us to come to Him and to know Him intimately, to rely upon Him and to trust Him. He wants that kind of relationship with us where we are daily with Him, relying upon Him, looking to Him. And listen, God does not force His way into anybody's life. He wants us to invite His intervention. He wants us to invite His will into our lives and into our world. And He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him as our healer, our provider, our shepherd. He wants us to know Him as our righteousness. He wants us to know Him as our fortress, as our comforter, our strength. He wants us to know Him that way. And so we come to Him and we pray and we ask for His will to be done. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You have not made this difficult, but Lord, You have made it where we can understand. We are to ask for Your will. Forgive us, Father, when we have only been concerned about our own selfish desires. Help us, Lord, to understand and know always that Your will is best. I pray, Father, for those that are discouraged this morning, that are struggling in their prayer life, I pray that today would be a turning point, that they begin to pray with greater confidence. I pray, Father, for those that have allowed something to come between. Lord, they've allowed something to hinder their prayer. I pray that today they'll make it right. I pray today, Father, for the one that has drifted away. Oh, Father, I pray they'll choose to draw near to You today. And Father, I pray that all of us would learn and grow in our prayer life. More and more and more we see Your will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, help us. I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.